during my month of hibernation, I read a lot, and I read some interesting stories, some in depth, some just because I was interested in reading something different. But I read one short story in one of my church journals about a little town in Idaho that has an international fiddlers festival every year. I don't know if any of you are acquainted with it or not. I didn't know anything about this. But fiddlers would come from all over the world just to fiddle around in that little Idaho town. Well, I thought that's more than the story of that. And one of the newsmen who was writing about all the fiddlers who came to fiddle in that town, and they had them all over the place, he was talking to one of the old storekeepers. And the old storekeeper reminded me when I was reading the story, what immediately came to mind was Percy Kilbride. Remember Pa Kettle? See, most of you are old enough to remember Pa Kettle. Some of you don't know, but that's all right. Anyway, I thought that good image. And he asked him, he says, well, what do you think about all these people coming to town? He says, you got a lot of strange people here. Yep. That was a good reply. Then he said, you know what, though? I want to tell you. They come from all over, and we have more fun during this festival than you can imagine. And they come from all over the place. He says, there's some long-haired, short-haired. Some are straight and some are gay and some are just downright strange. And he says, there's some Republicans and Democrats and I suppose some commies too. Only in Idaho. He says, black, white, green, and purple, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, as long as they fiddle. We welcome them. Now that story I like. I really do. Because it's common sense and it's really the best of America that you, when you think about it. All the variety of people coming into this little town that probably has more bigots per square inch than you can imagine. And yet, when they're there to fiddle, and as long as they're fiddling and they're there for a purpose, doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. I thought about that story, and I thought about Betty last week when she told the story to the kids about the flock of geese, and there was the big honk up front. And I thought about the church and all the stuff that's going on in our country right now with all the terribly twisted refrains and blame on Jesus Christ that you can imagine. And I thought, boy, somebody's off base somewhere. Open your Bibles. We're not off base. One drop. And this is a scripture that's appropriate for the time. Ephesians, the first chapter. Because it's the music that counts, the fiddling. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace which He's freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. Amen. The first time, the very first time I strolled down the streets of the ancient remains of the city of Ephesus, I really marveled at what was now just ruins. The streets, the sights of the shops, the public toilets, the Colosseum, the deckwork that made up what once was a pier that ships would come in and unload goods, because Ephesus was a city about the size of Lakeland in its prime. It was a marketing capital. Now it's 6 miles to the Mediterranean because silt filled in that harbor, and it's now farmland. I remember when I looked at all these things and the library that was there that had been one of the great libraries of civilization, because the walls were double thick and they were filled with sawdust to keep the moisture away from the papyrus. I thought, my, what a place this was. The shops, by the way, that were there, all little shops that were there lining the place, most of them had the carving of a fish, so you knew that they were Christian. And Ephesus was noted for being the largest community, largest city in that ancient Asia Minor civilization that had Christians. The second time I looked at the same ruins and the same stuff, I looked beyond the decay and the wreck and the ruin that was a city. I noted again how many fish carvings were there outside what had been mom and pop shops, where the people would gather and talk. And I tried to imagine the conversations that were going on while we were there. And I tried to imagine what the people were like and what was going on and how busy that pier must have been when the ships would come in and unload. And I tried to imagine again, Anthony and Cleopatra came to that pier off of a boat. There on the top of the hill was a little house where they said Mary had lived her last days. Well, a lot of that was conjecture, you know, showmanship for Christian tourists. But I tried to imagine the variety of people that made up the city of Ephesus. The gossip, the jokes, the music. There was an orchestra in the public toilets, by the way. Because there were long robes, men and women could go in anytime they wanted and sit on their little seat and be entertained with music. But there was already water flushing underneath, so there was no odor. They had running water. And like that old fella in Idaho, I thought for those early Christians, it was faith in Christ really that mattered more than anything else. It wasn't the business, it wasn't what was going on in that city, but it was the faith in Jesus Christ. Didn't make any difference who people were or where they came from. If they loved the sign of the fish at that little shop, was there along the street. If they loved the sign of the fish, they were okay. They were okay. Like that old guy in Idaho, as long as they fiddled, it was the music. It was the music. Didn't matter who they were, where they were from. Our lesson seems to be a melody of faith. And as I read the verses again, I felt like the fiddlers and the fish symbol Christians, those people of long ago, and realize this lesson is like a hymn, if you will. It's like a hymn. And indeed, it's the music of faith. Verses 3 through 6, if you look at those now in your Bible, verses 3 through 6, it's a hymn to God. Whatever power the early Christians had, whatever power they had was not their own doing. It wasn't their own accomplishment. The power of God would keep them from floundering and from straying and from getting away from the power of God, the love of God. Verses 7 through 10 is a hymn to the world. Notice the words. Because it is to the world. God greatly loves the world and His children. And it doesn't matter who they are or what they are. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. That love is so abiding. 11 through 14 becomes very personal. And you see, it is like a love song, isn't it? It is like a love song. Paul offers our hope and our redemption in Jesus Christ because, and he used a good Presbyterian word, predestined. It was ordered this way. How wonderful that is. I remember when I was in a rehab center nearly 31 years ago. It was Sunday in the little town of Kingwood, West Virginia, where the rehab center was. And there was a big mix in that rehab center, which is one reason I selected it. I think God prompted that. There were Christians and there weren't. There were addicts and there weren't. There were drunks and there weren't. And some were a mix. And I never felt so lonely that first Sunday in my life. And they said, well, we trust you. You can go up the street. There's a Presbyterian church. I can remember walking up that old West Virginia street to that little Kingwood Presbyterian church. And it was World Communion Sunday. Wasn't much of a church. Wasn't as beautiful as our chapel. Nobody knew me, and I didn't want to say who I was or where I was. But you know, the organ was playing when I walked in. I don't even remember the music that was being played. I remember the last hymn, the church is one foundation. But I do remember that because I was there and I was welcomed without my name, I was welcomed without reverend, I was welcomed because of I just came there to worship Jesus Christ. That was the sound I hope to hear. Welcome to our church. Don't care where you come from as long as you're here to worship Jesus Christ. Don't care who you are. If you love the Lord, welcome. You see? Like the old guy in Idaho, it's the music. It's the fiddling. The one reason. The one reason, too, we're gathered at the table. Jesus knew it, didn't he? My love for you is enormous, Jesus said. And he invited his disciples to come. And I'm sure they just chatted a great deal about what was going on. How was your week, Peter? How was your week, John? How was things? Pretty good wine. And after the meal, Jesus said, this is my body that's broken for absolutely everyone, for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat the bread, you drink the cup to show my presence. And as often as you drink the cup, you show my presence to everyone for the forgiveness of sins. Loving God, set these common elements apart from common to sacred as we celebrate the living Christ here. Amen.